the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength.
If you weren't here last week, we are embarking on a new series looking at this ancient Jewish prayer called the Shema. This was an important prayer for Jewish people for thousands of years and remains an important prayer for them today. This prayer, its purpose is to show us who God is, to guide us into know how we should know him, but also worship him and live for him. And so, as we look through this prayer, we're looking at six key words. Last week, we looked at the word Shema, which translates as listen. And we explored together, what does it mean to listen to God? We saw that to listen to God means that we actually need sound waves going through our ears, or maybe we need to actually be using our eyes to be reading his word. To listen to him also means to pay attention to what he's actually saying. And third and finally, to listen to God means that we need to be living out what he has said to us. Today, we're going to be looking at the second word in our series, which is Lord. Yesterday, kind of morning, lunchtime, Hannah and I went out to London with a group of mutual friends. And we went out for a brunch. And I had heard about some of these friends of Hannah's that she'd known for many years. And on the train ride there, I was trying to remember what all of their names are. And some of the names I knew because I'd already met those people, but other people, I was kind of struggling a little bit. And so we get to the restaurant. We turn up first, and because there's about 12, 13 of us, it almost ends up on one table, it almost ends up being one kind of two kind of different conversation groups. And so I'm talking to the people around me, but then at the other end of the table, I'm not really quite sure what's going on. And to be honest, I'm not exactly sure who's at the end of the table. And then there was a guy who came quite late, and I asked Hannah what was his name. And so she told me his name, and then I repeated it back to her, and I said it wrong. It's quite an unusual name. And then later on, during the breakfast, I mentioned his name again. And then Hannah laughed at me and said, no, you got that name wrong again. It's this. This happened several more times, and I'm just not getting the hang of this guy's name. We finish our brunch, which has kind of turned into lunch, and we go out for a bit of a walk around Covent Garden. And this guy and his wife joins us. And it's only through walking around that Hannah makes conversation with him and then realizes that she doesn't know his name either. That she has got the name wrong. And so, but we now both know what this guy's name is for when we see him next time. It's important for us to be knowing the names of those around us. When we just meet people for the first time, when there's no relationship, when there's no time spent together, it can be incredibly difficult to learn names because there's not much of a context to it. But as we spent time together that afternoon with this guy, it became easier and easier for us to remember his name and to get his name correctly. When we use people's names, it builds trust, it shows care, and it's the way forward into opening a good friendship. And this morning, we're going to be discovering how God uses his own name, but also our names, in order for us to be in relationship with him. And I'm going to ask Dave to come up and read for us. And we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 3 this morning. So if you do want to follow along in one of these blue Bibles, you can find it on page 54. And I must just say, a couple of months ago when I was preaching here with a view, I did actually use this passage before if you can remember that far back. But don't worry, I'm not already recycling my sermons. There is a different theme. Thank you.
Okay, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Amen.
So we read about this shepherd who is walking with his sheep through a place called Midian. A voice appears to him through a burning bush that he is passing. The shepherd approaches and the voice speaks out, Moses, Moses. This voice coming from the burning bush already knows this man by his name. At this point, this shepherd Moses had been hiding from the Egyptian authorities. He was on the run. The only job that he could get was being a lowly shepherd, which was a very lonely and isolating job. He would have spent much of his time with sheep and hardly any time with people. He must have felt forgotten about. He must have wondered what his future, this lonely future, might be for him. And yet this voice from the burning bush calls him by name, Moses, Moses. This voice, this God from the burning bush, has plans for him to equip him and to partner with him, to go back to the people that he had left, to rescue the Jewish people from Egyptian captivity. Moses has been tasked by this voice, by this God. And he's going to go not in his own authority and not in his own power, but God promises that Moses will be going in God's authority and with God's power to go and rescue these people. Moses kind of wonders, okay, so if I'm going over to these people and I'm going to be laying out how I'm going to be rescuing them, and I've been sent by someone, who is this someone? I can't go over to these people and say, a burning bush told me that I'm going to deliver you. They would think that he was completely nuts. Rather, he needs to know, who is this voice in the burning bush? What is this voice's name? In verse 15, we see that God names himself. He names himself as Lord. If we look at the ancient Hebrew, we see that the name is Yahweh, another very familiar name, which translates to us as I am. Now, I could quite easily spend the rest of the sermon going into what all of this, what this name means and all the Hebrew and all that kind of stuff. But to be honest, it would just be academic. And I'd rather just spend the time looking at what does it mean for the Lord to, for God to name himself the Lord. What are the implications for our Christian lives? So I hope that's okay. God gives himself the name Yahweh. God gives himself the name I am. This isn't some kind of title. This isn't some kind of label that he has put on himself. But actually, this is a personal name that God has given to himself to share with Moses. If you look amongst Christians across the world, you will see that certain church leaders will have some crazy titles before their names. Especially if you go to certain churches in this country, certain parts of Africa that we've been to, you do come across some very unusual titles, some very long titles explaining who these people are. These are titles to magnify those individuals, maybe to boost their ego, maybe to boost their influence. If I'm being cynical, maybe sometimes to boost the money that they receive. But God doesn't give himself a title. He doesn't need one. He just gives himself a personal name, just like all of us have got our own names. When parents choose names, they might pick meaningful names in the hope that their son or their daughter will grow up to exhibit those qualities which the name represents. I know for my own name, it means in Greek, Alex means defender. I know that Hannah means grace and favour. Those are maybe qualities that our parents wanted in us, although I'm not exactly sure what defender means. But it makes more sense for Hannah's one. But when God names himself, he doesn't just pick a name out of the sky, but rather he does it to reveal a part of who he is. He does it for the sake of helping others. There's a well-known Christian preacher called John Piper, and he explains it very well here. He says, God chooses names for the sake of revealing things about himself that will deepen our love for him and enlarge our admiration and strengthen our faith. We all know that God has not just revealed himself as the Lord, as Yahweh, as I am, but that throughout the scriptures, God gives himself many of these personal names. These names all have a purpose, which is for us to be able to connect with him in different ways. Maybe there are times in our lives when we're nearly always calling God our Heavenly Father. We're thinking of him as a father because we need the direction that a father so often brings. Sometimes we might be thinking of God as the comforter. Maybe we are going through a difficult time in our lives, and it's helpful for us to think of God as a comforter. Sometimes when we're feeling insecure in ourselves, when we're feeling insecure about the future, when we're feeling insecure about what the role and purpose might be for our lives, we can use the name King. God has called himself a king, and to think of him in that way might be helpful. All of these names are never to show off who God is. None of these names are ever plucked out the air. All of these names are to help us to relate to God in ways in which we find helpful with him. And so we have this name that we're looking at today. We're looking at this name, Yahweh. We're looking at this name, Lord, I am. It's a short but loaded name, I am. But here's just a couple of things that it reveals about God's character. The first thing is to say that I am cannot be defined by others. I am Alex, but I'm only Alex because of other people around me. I'm only Alex because of my family. If it wasn't for my family, I would not be Alex. If I did not have my friends, I wouldn't really be Alex. If I didn't have a local church family to be a part of, I wouldn't really be Alex. I am Alex because of other people. I'm Alex because of my genetic makeup. I'm Alex because of the environment which I find myself in. I'm Alex because of the things that have happened in my past. I'm Alex because of my hopes for the future. I'm Alex because of God. I'm Alex because I can be defined in these ways. But God cannot be defined through these external things. God calls himself I am simply because he is. He is outside reality. He is outside of circumstance. He is outside of genetics. He is set apart. And just as Alex changes over the years because of these various things around me which define me, God is not influenced in that way. God is. God never changes. So we see that I am is not defined by others, but also I am sustains himself. For us to be, for us to survive, for us to prosper, then we need to be consumers. We need to consume food and drinks and sleep. We need to consume and receive encouragement, but also love. I am means that God does not need to consume. He doesn't take in, but rather he gives out. He is the one who creates. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who provides all that we have. In Proverbs 10, we see that it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." It is the name of the Lord which gives us his power. He is the one who sustains us. He is the one who makes us strong. He is the one who makes us safe in troubling times. And the third and final thing is that I am is by definition outside of time. The scriptures say that we all have a time to be born, but we also all have a time to die. We are limited by the years that God blesses us with. And we are who we are because of the time that we are living in. If we were all living in the Middle Ages, we would all be very different people. God is I am. Jesus helps explain what it means for God to be I am by him saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come." Time does not influence who God is. God does not change as the time, as time and eras and cultures change. But he works in the times in which we are alive. God is in the past. God is in our past. He was in the past when, before we even existed, he had us in mind. God was in the past when he sent Jesus on the cross to die for us and to be resurrected with us in him. God is in our past. God is also in our present. God is at work in us every single day, sanctifying us, changing us, making us from one likeness of Christ to another. But God is also ahead of us. He is in our future. We have this future grace, this future hope that one day we will see Jesus face to face and all will be good. And so to wrap up, we can be full of praise that God has revealed himself to us. He wishes us, all of us as individuals, to be in relationship with him. It's good for us to be thinking about, what are we calling God at the moment? In our prayers, how are we addressing him? Are we addressing him just the way that we always address him? Or can we be a bit more creative? Can we be looking through our scriptures? Can we be looking up on Google the names of God and be tapping into those names to help inspire us and to encourage us and to challenge us in our walk with him? When we think of God as Yahweh, as we think of God as I am, how does that change the way in which we view God? What are the implications of his name in terms of how we relate to him, how we trust in him, how we are challenged by him? For him to be our Lord means this. It means for the Lord to be the one in which we love. For him to be Lord means we love him with our heart and also with our soul and also with our strength. And I'm really looking forward to next week when Martha is going to be up here and is going to be sharing the next word with us, love. What does it mean for us to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and also with all of our strength? Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you have revealed yourself to your people throughout generations in different ways. We thank you that although you never change, you speak to us and you reveal yourself to us in each generation. We thank you for the many names that you have given to yourself. And rather it being something that could be confusing, you give it to us so that we are clear as to who you are. We thank you that you are not straightforward, but like a beautiful diamond, there are many facets to you. There are many ways about you. There are many thoughts to you. There are many different ways to approach you. And we pray, Lord, that as perhaps through this week we think, what does it mean for you to be Lord? What does it mean for you to be other names in the scriptures as well? Please would these different names really resonate with us? Would they move us? And would they stir us in growing our relationship and in growing our trust in you? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.